be reading Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief... You said chapter... I'm sorry, you told me chapter 10? Sorry about that. Let's go chapter 10. Let's do chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to be to this house.' And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house. Eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than it was then for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will be exalted to the heaven. You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven."
Morning, brothers and sisters. Thank Tim for reading that there, those few verses of chapter 10 of Luke. A few weeks ago, Kyle mentioned in his Wednesday night class, and I want you to look at that there 18th verse of what he just read. And he states there, he'd sent out the 70, and they went out, he sent them out to towns where he was aimed to be going. And then when they come back, in that previous verse, before he got to 18, they said, "Lord, even the spirits are, they listen to us. They, you know, we have power over them." And then Jesus made this statement in that 18th verse. He said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning." Now, Kyle mentioned this here a couple of weeks ago. He didn't make too much of a comment about it, but he did mention it. And it struck me. And I asked him after class was over, I said, "Did you have any comments on that there? When was he talking about? When did Satan fall? And I found this kind of interesting, and I started looking at this a little closer. And I thought we'd talk about that a little bit today. I know a lot of people think, well, Satan was cast out of heaven after Jesus died. That ain't so. When Jesus made this here statement, he hadn't died yet. But yet he said, I seen Satan cast out like lightning to the earth. So when did this happen? Think about that for a minute. When did this happen? We can go back in time and consider 2 Kings, the first chapter. In that very first chapter, Jeroboam had died, and his son, Ahijah, began to reign over Israel. We're told that Ahijah fell through a lattice, and he was very sick. He was in his bed. And he sent messengers, and he said, I want you to go to Ekron, and I want you to ask the God of Ekron, am I going to be able to come down out of this bed? Anyone remember who that God was that they were supposed to ask? His name was Beelzebub, the God of Ekron. Now, Beelzebub is mentioned in the New Testament also. We're going to be getting into that here a little bit later. So Satan was already here on earth. He was considered the God of Ekron at this time. Now let's go back a little bit further. In the book of Job. Remember in the book of Job in the first chapter, said the sons of God came to present themselves to God, and Satan came also. And God said, where comest thou? And he said, from walking to and fro in the earth. Satan was here on earth before Job. So when Jesus mentioned that there of seeing Satan fall to earth like lightning, we're not exactly told when this occurred. We can reason within ourselves and see that, well, Satan's been here a long time. That the people a long time realized that that Satan existed. And he had a control of somewhat over their lives. So when he was cast down, I can't say. And we're not told. I really wished I could, because I found that interesting. But I started looking at Satan a little bit more. And that's mainly what we're going to be considering today. Have you ever thought why God mentioned Satan so many times in the Bible? Not only Jesus. No, we're going to be going to the New Testament here in a little bit. And we're going to be considering some names that was given Satan. Names and terms that was using that not only Jesus used, but also the Holy Spirit caused the writers of the New Testament to put down on paper. Why was it necessary to mention? And I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of them in the New Testament. I found 17 different names or terms that poor Satan is referred to. Now, why is it so important that that is mentioned in the New Testament? And I thought about that. And that's the reason I thought we'd talk a little bit about this today. And even talk about these names that was mentioned. And even if we have time to get into it, how Satan is able to keep people from accepting God. Steve, I appreciate your class this morning. That was excellent. I couldn't keep from thinking of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, where it said that God's not willing that any should perish, but all men should come to repentance. Now, that's God's will. All men should come to repentance. But that means they needed to change. And they needed to change to the image of the Son. And that is what God expects us to do. Now, we're going to be looking, like I say, at Satan. We're not told when he fell, but we are told why he fell. Have you ever thought about why Satan fell? You know, we're given a scripture in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And anyone that's familiar with the Bible knows that the 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy and the 1st chapter of Titus have to do with the qualifications of installing elders or deacons. In those qualifications in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, there's one verse that tells us why Satan fell. And I want you to look at that. Take time. Now, I'm going to be opening my Bible this morning, and I want you to also. And I realize this takes more time to turn two pages and stuff. And I'm going to be taking time to turn to these, and it might take me a little bit of time because my little fat finger, sometimes it's hard to divide these pages up here. But the reason I want you to do that, because I like seeing people use their Bibles. That's the reason God gave us his word. And even if we don't have time to get through all that I'm wanting to get through with, maybe another time. Zach mentioned the other night, maybe he'd take time next week to finish it if I'm not able to. So he's got it next week. So Zach, you might have a chore there. But anyhow, in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in the 6th verse, one of the qualifications of a man that was aimed to be appointed an elder was not to be a novice. That means a new convert or a new member. Now why? And he goes on to say why. Lest he be lifted up with what? Pride, and falling under the condemnation of the devil. We're told there why Satan fell to the earth and was cast out of heaven. He was condemned by God because of his pride that he had. It's easy to see. Now, I'm going to go over to the Old Testament and look at a few scriptures here. And I think we can get a little better picture of why Satan had the pride that he did. First, let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Now, I realize that when Ezekiel was told to take up a lamentation for the king of Tara. But as we read this, you're going to realize that the real king of Tara wasn't a king as a man, but it is Satan himself. In the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we're going to start reading with the 11th verse. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Was the king of Tyre at this time in the garden of Eden? Had to be Satan he was talking about. He says, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the braille, the oxen, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy timbrels and thy flutes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. For thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones afar. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones afar. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom, and by reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. Get a picture here of what Satan looked like. He was created perfect. God created him perfect. His beauty was obviously something just unbelievable. You know, when we think of Satan today, what do we see? Something with horns and red face and all that there. That's what mankind thinks of Satan. I don't know if he looked like that or not. But it says that his beauty was something. Now let's go back over a little bit further to the book of Isaiah. Again, another description of Satan. In the 14th chapter, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get to thinking and forget to mention where I'm going to go. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, we're going to start with the 12th verse here. It says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Who didst weaken the nations? Let me stop a second. Anyone know what Lucifer means? It means the shining one. The shining one. He's his brightness. And think about the beauty that was mentioned over in Ezekiel. Probably unmentionable what he looked like. It says, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Think about the pride. That's what come over Satan. That's why he was cast out to the earth. Like I say, we're not told when this happened, but we can obviously see why it happened. Now we're going to be going over to the New Testament and looking at some scriptures there. Like I say, I'd like to take the time when I got to thinking about this a little bit more. I got to thinking of the different names that I'd heard Satan called. And so I started looking into how many different names and how many different terms is he talking about when we go to thinking about Satan? The first example I'd like to go to. Well, I'll just mention this. The devil is mentioned enormous amount of times in the New Testament. Matthew 4 and 1, Luke 4 and 2, John 8 and 44, Ephesians 6 and 11, Revelation 12 and 12, and I could go on and on. The devil is mentioned. And the reason it's always mentioned, the devil, in other words, the only one. Now we have other terms that comes out in the New Testament that devils is mentioned, especially in the King James Version and English Revised Version. Yeah, that the devil is mentioned, but what he's talking about is demons. When they mention devils, D-E-V-I-L-S, multiple. He's talking about demons, not the devil. Well, like in Matthew, the fourth chapter, we didn't go into that there, but when Jesus went up after he was baptized, remember that Jesus took him up into a high mountain and he fasted for 40 days and he's hungry. And it mentions the devil came to him, the only one. For examples of demons, you go to Matthew 8 and 31, where the demons was coming out of the tombs and meeting people, and Jesus was able to cast them out, and they said, well, if you're going to cast us out, permit us to go into these swine. And Jesus said, go. Remember, the swine ran down off of a cliff into the ocean and perished. Demons. In other places, it's referred to unclean spirits. Again, talking about demons. And to go on with that here, with the unclean spirits, is Luke 11 and 26. And also Mark 3 and 11 have to go along with that. There's, of course, a lot more than that there. So we have the devil that's mentioned besides Satan. We have devils, which are demons. But there's descriptive terms that's mentioned in the New Testament. That's where he's talking about Satan. And we're going to take time to look at this. Kyle also mentioned, let's go over to the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter. Kyle mentioned two names one night. He just casually mentioned them. In that 9th chapter, in the 11th verse, he says, and they had a king over them, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Two names mentioned here. Both of them have the same meaning, destroyer. In other words, when the writer was writing this, and even in the Old Testament, Satan was there. And they knew him. In the Hebrew tongue, which was long before they started taken into captivity and they adopted the Greek language, because they was taken into captivity, in the Hebrew tongue he was called Abaddon, the destroyer. After that he was called Apollyon. Let's go on over, since we're in Revelation, go over to the 12th chapter. In that 10th verse, there's a statement made there. He says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The accuser of our brethren. They're talking about Satan here. He was accusing the brethren day and night, it says, before God. Now think about that for a minute. One example I can think of is when we mentioned earlier about Job in the first chapter, when the sons of God appeared before and Satan came with them. Remember what Satan said to Job? God said, consider my servant Job. He's an upright man. And what did Satan say? Oh, you build a fence around him. You give him everything that he has. And that's the only reason he serves you, because you give him everything. If you was to take all this away, then he wouldn't serve you. Now that there is what Satan told God. He was the accuser at this time. Until Jesus came and died on the cross, he was still the accuser of all our brothers and sisters. He'd stand before God and say, they've done this and this and this. But guess what? Now, what a blessing it is. Because Jesus shed his blood. Let's go over to 1 John real quick. 1 John, the second chapter. John, in his writing here, he makes a statement. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now think about that for a minute. Here's Satan, he's the accuser of our brother. And he did it up until Jesus died. And after Jesus died, he became, his blood made us clean. Satan goes before God. I want you to get a picture of this now. And he starts to accuse somebody. And Jesus says, wait a minute. He was washed in my blood. How important is that there to have Jesus' blood covering us? No more can Satan stand and accuse. Nancy, thank you, Nancy, for putting that here on the front of the bulletin. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is an adversary to us all. He's standing in our way, trying to keep us from serving God and obeying God's will. But let me give you a quick example. We ain't going to get through these 17 names. I'm quickly running out of time, real fast. Let me give you what an adversary is like. Remember in Numbers, the 22nd chapter? Here's Balak. Here's the children of Israel, and here's Balak. And he sends for Balaam, and he says, I want you to come up and curse these people. They're there's a mess of these people, and they're destroying everything coming along, and I'm afraid of them. I want you to come up and curse them for me. And God appeared to Balaam and said, no, you'll not go with these people to do that. And they kept coming back, wanting him to come. And finally, God said, well, okay, you can go, I guess. And Balaam went up to go, but he went only because of what he'd been promised to get. Because God had already told him what his will was. You don't go. That's not what I want you to do. Remember when he was going, he was riding upon his donkey. And what stood in his way? The angel of God. And this angel of God had his sword drawn. The donkey was able to see it, and he turned aside into the field. Read the 22nd verse, I believe, of that same. He was an adversary. He was standing in the way of Balaam. Satan stands in our way today. We got through five names, brothers and sisters. I encourage you to take time to look in the New Testament at all the different names and terms it's used to describe what Satan is. God saw it such an importance for us to see this and to realize it and recognize it. Because Satan is out there and he's still working, being our adversary. He's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He's mentioned as Beelzebub in Matthew 12, the son of Belial in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I'm just going to give you a few of the names here. He's mentioned as the evil one or the wicked one in Matthew 13 and John 2 and John the 5th chapter. That's 1 John. He's mentioned as the father of lies in John 8. He's mentioned as a murderer in John 8. He's mentioned as a great dragon, the old serpent, the deceiver of the whole world in Revelation 12. He's mentioned as the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. He's mentioned as the prince of this world in John the 12th chapter. He's mentioned as the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2 and 2. And he's mentioned as the tempter in Matthew 4. There's a lot of names and terms used to describe what Satan is like. When we read these, you need to take time to look at them. Why were they important to be mentioned the way they are? And how can we benefit from it? I'll leave these thoughts with you, because I am already out of time. And I could keep going, but we'd be here another hour. I can see that right now. So, Zach, if you want to continue. But what's something to look at? Well, when you look at God's Word, and the information's there, it's just enormous. Let's go to one last scripture. Revelation's the 20th chapter. I'd be amiss not to take time to read that. What's going to happen to Satan? In the 20th chapter and 11th verse, he says, and I saw a great white throne and him to sit on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books was open, and another book was open, and which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. John says he saw this great white throne, and him that sat on it, and this book was opened. And how do we get our names written in that book? We're told that God adds us to that there. We're told that in second book of Acts, the second chapter and 47th verse, that the Lord adds us to his church. After we've changed our lives, been washed in his blood. So let me close with this. Is your name written in this book? When the book is open, is your name going to appear there? Is Satan going to stand there and say, well, he's done this and this and this? Is Jesus going to be standing there and say, no, he's been washed in my blood? If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins and been added to God's church, and he's the one that adds us, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing in the chosen night.